Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hello, hello.
Yo, yo, yo.
What's good? What's going on?
The world keeps on turning.
That's a fact. That's a fact. How is your summer going? We are very much through summer. Recently, I was at a dinner with my family, and they were like, you know, summer's over. Summer's done. Ain't no more summer. You know, you might as well wrap it up. I'm like, what are you talking about? There's mad time left in summer. Do you feel like summer's almost over?
Definitely not.
Word.
I think you got pessimists in your life.
Well, a lot of the people who are talking, they're in education, and I think they're thinking around like kids going back to school soon. I'm like, yo, I don't got nothing to do with them kids. Like, I got mad Word. Summer left. I have several summer activities still on the schedule. So for you parents out there that are being pessimistic, unless you live in the South, because y'all kids really are going back to school.
Oh, they start school in July. 4th of July, they go to school.
No, seriously. So like for y'all, summer may feel like it's over for you guys, but up here in the Northeast, somewhere like smack in the middle of summer, I have a whole second half of summer left.
Oh, we summering out here.
Yeah. What else do you have on your books for summer?
So I'm teaching my kid how to New York City. So,
I mean, it's the least you could do considering you're sending him to college in New York City.
Yeah, but it's funny. So the first half of the training was at the crib. So we would have him walking through the house.
And you would just bump into him?
Yeah, check him, shoulder check him, walk up on him to see if he senses people behind him, like walk face to face with him to see if he makes eye contact and keeps his safe distance, ask him what time it is, see if he runs, stuff like that.
Here's the thing. Everybody, for the most part, everybody in your house is smaller than your son. You need a big person to roll up on him and see how he does. Y'all are all little to him.
Yeah, fine. That I'm just saying, it's simulation.
Okay. Right.
But yeah, the biggest thing is like, yo, if somebody asks you what time it is, run.
So I'm not of that era. I'm not of that era, what time it is, and you get, yeah, that was before me. That was like, what is it, crack in the 80s? What was that? That's I'm not from
well,
that
I'm
era.
Training them. I'm giving them a 1980s style training. And so that was step one. Step two.
First of all, I'm just letting you know, if someone's trying to holler at him by asking him the time, he's going to miss his opportunity.
He will. He'll be out. Second level of training is I had him draw out New York City.
Why? Who has to do that?
We drew it out together so he could know which way is east, which way is west, which way is uptown, downtown, where's Brooklyn, where's Queens.
When the numbers go up, it's uptown. When the numbers go down, it's downtown. Like
that's the streets, not the avenues. See, you see what I'm saying?
When the avenues go down, it's east.
Yeah. See, it's inherent to you because you have done this. Like he has not. Okay.
Okay. And it's he's asking questions.
He's like, well, where's Albany? Like Albany?
What?
Why do you want to know about Albany?
No.
Where's Buffalo? Like, never mind.
No. So that's what you get for having him draw the entire state of New York.
No, just the city, man. Just the city. All right. And then phase three, which happens this weekend, we're just getting a hotel in the city. And we're just going to go. We're going to go to all the boroughs. We're going to go to all the neighborhoods on the subway, taking a train.
You're going to every borough?
Yeah.
You gotta film this. You gotta film some of this. So yeah. Now don't film Brooklyn and Harlem, but Queens. Like, yeah. I want to know how y'all can be exhausted. Queens is far.
It's not far. Long Island City is Queens. Like, that's right across the bridge.
Nah, don't show him Long Island City.
The Queensbridge housing project?
No, Long Island City is not even real. It's a fabricated place. So it's very manufactured. Take him to Queens. Take him to Nas and 50. Like, all of that. You know Nas came out with a new album this week?
I did. I heard it. It's all right. It's not bad.
Don't do that. It was good. I liked it.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's what I'm saying.
So take him to Queensbridge with a bubble on.
With a bubble on in the summer.
And Tim's. They're going to have him with bubble on and Tim's and play out and say, like, I don't like Nas.
Yo, nah. So, you know, the funny thing is about how kids dress today. So my kid, we went to like an NYU, like an orientation thing. And we're like, yo, get dressed. He's like, I am dressed. My man has on like a Scooby-Doo, what looks like a night shirt, like a sleeping shirt, and like some Crocs. And like, I'm like, dude, you look ridiculous.
Keep it a buck.
To school. The kids are like, yo, your shirt.
Yeah, like I was getting ready to say, like, first of all, you know, Crocs is everything. I still do not own a pair of Crocs. I don't think I'm going in that direction ever. But like, kids are wearing pajamas. I'm sure at Morgan, you was rolling, not the first week of school, but eventually you was rolling out of bed in pajamas, sweats.
You ain't know me.
Basketball shorts.
You ain't know me very well. I was polo down to the socks every day.
Oh, my God.
I was Tommy Hilfiger down before I got woke and realized I need to stop wearing all these men on my back. But, yeah, I did not dress poorly in college, no.
Mm. Well, yeah. It was plenty of, especially the athletes. The athletes just roll out of bed in like basketball shorts or whatever.
Yeah.
And
that's because to y'all, gray sweatpants is.
I was getting ready to say, and it worked every time. It worked every time. Shout out to college athletes.
But speaking of college athletes, speaking of kids,
great transition.
Getting older. You see what I'm saying?
Great transition. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, what are we talking about today?
These grown ass kids.
Yes. These grown ass kids.
Aren't they even kids anymore? These are young adults.
I mean, I feel like you will always call your children your kids, no matter how old they are. You're not going to be like my man. Like, what's up? Like, then my man's. And then, like, those are your kids.
Yeah, that's true.
We are talking, first of all, we got to give credit where credit is due. Yeah. We did not come up with this show topic on our own. Someone reached out and said, hey, have you ever talked about parents supporting their adult children and figuring out the boundaries as to when it's time to say, bump them grown ass kids.
Yeah. And I believe in her spirit, she had it up to here.
No, for sure. She did, to the point where she needed help from us. Yeah. And we saw the bat signal and we're here this week. We're going to talk about it. It's definitely
podcast
time.
On demand.
Yes. But hey, slow down because don't do nothing like that. Like, it's fine. We oftentimes get recommendations from people who reach out to us on social media and we really do appreciate it. But sometimes it's foolishness. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to just ignore it. We're just going to ignore it if it's some foolishness. But like, we do always appreciate your feedback. We do always appreciate your input. If there's something that you want us to talk about that we have not talked about, just share it with us. Reach out. But again, if it's trash, I'm just going to respond with a trash emoji and we're going to keep it pushing. But this was a great, great show topic and we cannot wait to get into it. So it's a lot to talk about. It's a lot to talk about when it comes to parents supporting their grown ass kids.
Can I just tell you real quick, just an anecdotal story? So I'm having like, I had a little 4th of July get together at the crib.
Okay.
I had a bunch of extra cocktails left. I'm the cocktail connoisseur now.
Are you pre-made? How are you? It's like in a pitcher? You like, I had pre-made cocktails in a pitcher?
Don't do that. Like, they're craft cocktails, fresh.
You
fruits.
Had a bucket? You had a
Will
bucket?
You stop. You're getting off topic. So either way, so I had a bunch left and I hit my neighbors like, yo, let's get together and eat these and drink these cocktails. And you know, folks, we'll do a little potluck.
You already put ice in them? Were they watered down? Are you offering watered down cocktails?
Oh, my God. My cocktails were the bomb. First of all, one of my cocktails, I invent cocktails, by the way.
First of all, Alan, Jungle Juice has been around for a long time. You didn't invent Jungle Juice.
Oh, my God. I'm up here muddling cucumber for my drinks. Like, don't do that.
Do you even eat cucumbers?
I drink it. I drink cucumber in my whiskey sours. Okay. So one of my neighbors is like, you know, his kid is in his 20s. His kid is like been in and out of community college, but hasn't finished his degree. He's like working, but like barely. He like socially isn't like developing friendships, doesn't have a girlfriend. And he's paying like a little bit of his bills, but like the dad was just frustrated. Like, how do I get this kid to like take life seriously and get out of the nest? Like, I think this is a real problem a lot of folks are dealing with their young adults.
Yeah. And there's honestly a variety of reasons why. So parents, don't feel bad. We're going to talk about it a little bit later in the show, but there are a variety of reasons why you have ended up in the spot that you're in, and it has a lot to do with a lot of different things. So first of all, here's the thing. I'm not a parent. So, you know, I'm always taking the view of a selfish American. I don't have a kid. Alan has enough. So we're balanced in that way. But I do get it, right? Like, you raise these human beings, like you've invested everything you have in them emotionally, financially. And so you don't want to send them off into the world not feeling supported, right? So there was a research study done in 2022 that found that half of adults age 18 to 29 were still living at home with at least one parent. Do you think that's egregious?
I was going to say, how long were you living at home? Until what age?
Oh, I left at 17. I left home at 17.
When you went to college, you never came back home and lived at all? I
mean, okay, if you're going to put my business in the street, when I got separated from my marriage, I went home probably for like 6 months.
Okay.
That's it.
So during those 6 months, you were part of the stat. So for me, I graduated college at 22, and my parents kind of tricked me. They were like, look, live at home for a while, and then we'll sell you the crib. We're getting a crib done in like 3 months. I'm like, bet. Like 2 years later, I'm still living at the crib. Yeah, I did buy the house. I'm glad I did it. But I was one of these stats. Like, I was bringing girls downstairs to my bedroom, my childhood bedroom, and pops would knock on the door.
Okay, but if your parents hadn't told you to come home, what would you have done?
Oh, I would have either bought something or got an apartment. I was ready for the world.
I don't know if the world was ready for you, but you were part of the stat, but it sounds like by trickery. Okay. No big deal. Yeah. I was a part of it also, because I think I was 26 or 27 when I separated in my marriage. So yeah, again, I came back for a couple months to figure out what I was doing, to kind of pivot. And then I was back out in these streets.
But I bet you with this stat, of the young adults 18 to 29, I bet most of them probably never left, or maybe they left for college and they've been there the whole time. Like, you left meaningfully, got married and came back. Like, I think it's a little different, but still, that's a really big and kind of a, I won't say alarming, but it's a surprising stat that half of adults 18 to 29 are living with their parents.
Because I think back in the day, like, we wanted to be out, like, we wanted to be independent. We wanted to get away from our parents. Nowadays, like, that's really not the case anymore. Like, kids, you have kids, like, you remember when we were young, we couldn't wait to drive just so we could have our own independence. And kids today, I haven't met a single kid who I'm like, yo, you get in a car? And they're like, why? I'm gonna just, my parents are going to drive me around, or I'll Uber. Word. Like, they're not seeking that level of independence anymore. I do think that that's because of y'all helicopter parents. You helicopter parents have definitely created children who do not want to launch. They do not want to launch out into society. And by you, I'm talking to Alan. So please don't think I was coming for our listeners. I'm talking to Alan. But, you know, I do think that's a part of it. So a lot of the financial support that parents give go towards the things that you would expect, right? Food, housing, cell phone, and then as they get older, wedding, house down payment, a variety of things. But let's go through some numbers really quickly. In a research study, it showed that for parents who support their children with things like food, housing, cell phone payments, those expenses tend to add up to over $1,800 a month. Right. And it's incrementally. You're not handing over $1,800 a month to your child, but it's incrementally. They're still on your insurance. You know, they're on a family cell phone plan. So you're not really thinking about it. You give them, you know, you're still paying for the car or the car insurance, right?
Hold on. You also paying the rent or the mortgage, which is also part of that number.
Yeah, if they're living in your house. If they're not living in your house, you are putting something on the rent. My dad did that for me after college. For 1 year after college, he continued to help me pay my rent. But that expense comes up to around, on average, $1,800 a month, which when you total it up, is almost $22,000 a year.
Which coincidentally is the same amount that you can max out into your 401k.
Yet you can't afford retirement.
Because of these grown ass kids.
Because of these grown ass kids. So essentially, y'all are tricking off your 401k to your children and leaving yourself kind of destitute. And I know you're thinking like, well, they need me right now and all the things. But please don't forget that you're going to need yourself one of these days as well. So let's talk about the sacrifice that you parents are making. And I hope you guys feel validated, especially for parents who feel like I can't get ahead. There's a lot that I want to do. And I don't know why. You know, I go to work every day. I do everything I'm supposed to do. And these bills just keep piling up on me. I'm telling you, it's because of these kids. So 70% of parents with children 18 or older say that they have made a financial sacrifice to help their grown-up kids. 31% describe it as a significant sacrifice. 37% say it's somewhat significant. But what does significant actually mean?
And when does it end?
And when does it end? We're going to talk about all
Please,
that.
Please, Lord.
We're going to get you through it. Okay? By the end of the show, you're going to be like, bump them kids.
Yeah, because the 70% have had it up to here. That's all I know.
You have to, especially how we define sacrifice. 51% of parents, again, these are parents with children 18 or older, say they've reduced their emergency savings to support their children. 49% says they support their children so much, these grown ass kids, that it's impaired their ability to pay off their own debt.
Jesus.
43% say that supporting these grown ass kids has prevented them from being able to save for retirement.
Lord have mercy.
55% say they have supported their kids so much. 55% they have supported their kids so much that it is hard for them to reach their own financial milestones or goals.
What part of the game is this?
Listen, you're a parent, Alan. You would do the same thing. First of all, let's keep it a buck, okay? This NYU is about to scratch.
I've derailed my financial plan. Oh, it's off course right now.
That's because Alan didn't apply for the Shasta. But
I did do the Shasta, and the Shasta shafted me. And they're about to redo Shasta. That's a whole nother show. But they're about to take away the little bump you get when a second kid goes to school. They would divide your
write it in.
Thing in half. Yeah.
Just write it in.
It's getting worse.
In the notes section, just go ahead and put, I got mad kids.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They don't care. Shasta doesn't care. Heartless.
Other stats, right? So 60% of parents say they are willing to work longer to be able to financially support their grown ass kids.
I am 60%.
There you go. Look, this is love. 40% say they had to go back to work. So they were retired. They were done.
Dang. That's like the wrong person to be going to work. It should be the kids.
They were retired, but they had these grown ass kids and they had to go back to work.
Yeah.
And 6% say, listen, I've chosen to live with less just to help support my grown ass kids.
Yeah.
I could
walk
be
walking around with run over shoes.
Listen.
Hasn't gotten a new traveling, bra in 3 years.
Eating good, living life, and I got to support my grown-ass kids. First of all, ain't nothing wrong with not getting a new bra, because the older bras, the older they get, the more comfortable they are. You could trust them.
Underwire poking through.
Listen, you could get that sewn back in, but it's a trust thing the longer you have a bra. The overall stats in America, the financial support, like if you add it all up, the financial support that parents give their grown ass kids, we're not talking about your toddlers. We're not talking about your high school students. The total amount of financial support that comes from parents for these grown ass kids is over $500 billion annually.
That's an industry.
That's it. Yes, y'all are that's the like industry.
That's like the impact of AI on the economy. Like that's
$500 billion annually. I know you're always talking about the debt ceiling.
That's more than porn.
I think we could, you know, put a chunk in that. But what's crazy is, do you know how much parents invest in their own retirement accounts every year?
How much?
$250 billion. $250 billion is what you are contributing to your retirement accounts annually, right? We're just adding it all up. But yeah. $500 billion is what you are spending on these grown-ass kids.
Adult kids.
Man, let's not talk about the pandemic.
Junebug.
Let's not talk about the pandemic because y'all tricked off on them kids in the pandemic.
Sweetheart.
Not only were you letting them come home, which I get because you want to be close to them. You want to make sure they're safe. But you started paying all them kids' bills once the pandemic hit.
Not me.
Right. So if there was an opportunity for you to pay off your debt and for you to, you know, add to your emergency savings, you were saving all that money and commuting to work and all those other things. You were pretty much just sending it right out the door to these kids. And then we're not harping on you. Honestly, you should feel heard. You should feel seen. You should feel like y'all know my plight, what I'm going through out here. It's not just parents who have the means. It's actually like one is all parents, but low income parents, and low income is defined by anyone making $50,000 or less.
Mm-hmm.
They're more likely to make the financial sacrifice to help their kids.
Yeah.
Which I get. Yeah. I get. Especially if you're struggling financially, you want to do everything in your power to make sure your children are not in the same boat. But if you don't got it, what you doing?
Yeah, I would imagine some of the low income parents are probably closer physically to their kids too. They probably live in closer proximity, smaller homes, apartments, and you know, like, look, we gonna have to prop each other up a little bit.
Yeah, because high income parents aren't doing that. High income parents, and that's defined by households earning $100,000 or more. The stats are less. They are not more likely to put themselves in a financial sacrifice to help their children. And I'm going to just give a really quick example. Tell me what you think about this, Alan. So Gen Z adults, right? That's these younger ones. Gen Z adults feel like they shouldn't have to start paying rent till 23 at the earliest, age 23. Mm-hmm. While the parents feel like they should at least start putting something towards the rent around 21.
Yeah, my dad had me pay rent at 18 years old.
Yeah, I got my first apartment at 19. Well, but I wasn't paying the rent. I ain't gonna hold you. So I did not start paying my own rent probably till around 23, 24.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to cell phone bills and credit cards, Gen Z feels like they shouldn't have to start paying any of that until 21. I should not have to be paying my cell phone bill. First of all, if you got a credit card, I don't even know what you're doing, but they shouldn't have to start paying any of these things till 21. But their parents feel like it would make more sense if they started around 19.
I covered my own beeper bill at that age.
What was the beeper bill back then? Like $7?
I think $7.99.
$7.99. And that's what you shopping the rate around. You could probably could have got $5.99. But we are talking about parents supporting these grown-ass kids when it's time to stop what you guys are going through. We're going to walk you through everything. But stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary. With Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit MinkyCouture.com to get started.
So we're back.
Yes.
We're talking about these grown-ass kids.
Mm-mm-mm.
y'all are out here still supporting your grown kids, and it's a detriment to you, right? Like, whether you got it or not, it's definitely money that you could be reallocating somewhere else. And there does come a point in time, like, when you have to let them grow up and take care of themselves. So why are these kids even asking for help, right? Like, are they afraid to launch? Like, what's going on? Honestly, it's a variety of factors. One, you know, these kids have seen a couple of incidences of financial crisis. Like, they're afraid of the world. They're afraid of reality. Life looks different. It's not as simple. We all know inflation is real. And I don't mean like inflation over the last 2 years. I mean like inflation since, you know, for the last 30 years in general, things are significantly more expensive. So there was a time when it was easy for you to go out and get an apartment. Again, I've talked about it on air. My first apartment, I had a roommate, but like it was a very fly two bedroom with a view, and my rent was $450, right?
Like, you were mad. You were like, dang, that's a lot.
Nowadays, like that's not reality. Even yesterday, I was talking to a friend, her daughter, she's in eighth grade, and her dream is to move to New York City and be a big corporate lawyer. And I've lived in New York City a couple times. And so she was like, ask Tiffany how much she paid when she lived in New York City. And 10 years ago, when I lived in New York City with a one bedroom, I paid $4,000 in rent.
Yeah, per month.
Somehow I went from $450 to $4,000 in less than 10 years. And that was 10 years ago.
But now you're in a foreign.
Listen, you got that right. But only about 50% of adults aged 23 to 26 have a full-time job.
What?
Listen. Because
hold on, and it says and at least 1 year out of college.
Yes, so adult, not adults in prison. Only 50% of adults ages 23 to 26 who also have been out of college for at least 1 year have a full time job. And there's a variety of reasons why, but Alan, you and I know this firsthand. One of the reasons is because a job isn't valued as much amongst these kids nowadays. Like, I just want to be a free spirit. You know, I just want to find peace. I want to, you know, support my mental health so I can't work. But it's a variety of reasons. These kids ain't got no jobs. They go to college, but they don't have any jobs. Mm-hmm. And in going to college, a lot of them have racked up a lot of student loan debt. So they need to continue to be supported by their parents. Or they need to go back home so they can begin to tackle the student loan debt. But y'all don't have no job.
Yeah, that's one thing that is a deal breaker for me. Like, I'm sending my kid to this expensive school, and I want him to have a little bit of student loans because I don't want him saying, I'm just going to work at Starbucks. I don't want to be stressed out. I'm not going to try to get something in my field. You know, like, no, bro, you're going to work and you're going to work full time and you're going to have to feel some of this financial stress that you put your dad through. And I'm sorry about that. But hey, sorry, not sorry.
Another reason why kids are asking for help, and this is kind of responsible, they want to stay home so they can really build an emergency fund before they go out in the world. They just want a little bit of cushion. They need a year or so.
That's a great excuse.
Great. Great.
That's a good-ass excuse.
That's a great answer.
Let me just get on my feet, Mom. You know, like, let me just... But meanwhile, they're ordering Uber Eats every day. They're streaming all of the services. Facts. They're in video game tournaments. They're out here going on trips. But I'm building my emergency fund. Okay, how long does it really take to build an emergency fund? Three months?
I don't know.
Home with your folks. Like, you moved home for a little bit. You got back on your feet. What, 6 months tops?
6 months tops. And when I broke out, I broke out. Okay. Like, I got a little meager apartment. I came out fly, stunning. So I moved into a better place for sure. But yeah, listen, I get it. Another reason why kids are asked for help, and this is what research says. I don't know if I'm calling BS on this. They're saying with the Affordable Care Act, when it changed, it kind of institutionalized that you could keep your children on your health care till age 26. They feel like that institutionalized continuing to take care of your children for longer.
That ain't part of Obamacare.
Listen, first of all, nobody was turning to their kids. No grown parent was turning to their kids like, well, the Affordable Care Act says I could continue to keep you on my insurance for more years. So for that reason, I got to keep taking care of you.
But I bet you some of the kids turn to their parents using that like, hey, well, now basically I'm yours until 26.
If it was on TikTok, I'm sure they did. All right. So here are the questions you got to start asking yourself early on before you even get in this boat, before it goes too far. You need to start asking these questions right now. And I don't care how old your kids are, 8, 12, 6, whatever 13. It is, 13. These are the questions you need to ask yourself in advance. First of all, when do you feel like you should stop paying for extras, right? Like, so like clothes, shoes, is it the moment they finish college? Is it the moment they get a full-time job? Is it the moment they get a good job or just any type of job? Like, is it cool if it's Dairy Queen or they gotta be working in a job that's related to their field? But at what point you have to decide for yourself, like, listen, the moment this joker gets a job, he's gonna start paying for a cell phone bill.
Like, yeah, my parents cut me off for extras at 16. Like, I did not get a new pair of shoes unless, yeah, maybe it was Christmas time. Yeah, that was it. 16, that's when I went to the workforce and I got no more extras.
Do you want your kid working during college? That's a question you have to ask yourself, right? Yeah. Especially if your child, and I think a lot for a lot of our listeners, this is not the case, but if your child is first generation college student or not, like if you remember your own college experience and you remember, you know, struggling to get by and you don't want your child to have that experience, even though I do feel like that is a character building experience for people. But if you're like, listen, you have to ask yourself and your spouse, do we want our kid even working through college? I will tell you, the stats recommend, colleges recommend that students work anywhere from 10 to 15 hours a week.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Yeah, just so they can start to feel like an adult, so they can, you know, time management. It's a lot of character building skills that happen by having your child work.
I will say for parents who've got college age students, make sure that they're trying to get internships, make sure that they're working. You know, like this is one of those things about like learning to be an adult. Like eventually everybody's got to go to work. Like I had to actually have a fight in my own household when my 18-year-old high school graduate finished school. Like I'm like, he should have been working since last summer at least. And, you know, someone who I happen to be married to, who I love very much, is like, this is his last summer. Let's just, you know, hang out with him and take him on enrichment activities. Like, no, he can work. And then,
yes,
yeah, word. And I mean, at some point, your kid has to start to transition into adulthood. Working is one of those first things that helps them to transition. Paying for stuff helps them to transition. Paying rent helps them to transition.
Got you. Also, you have to ask yourself, you got to be honest about your kids. Is my kid working hard or hardly working? You know if your kid's a knucklehead. You know if your kid's a knucklehead. Alan just talked about, like, you know, playing video games and ordering Uber Eats all day. Like, I think understanding how you're going to support your child financially should depend on their performance, right? And I'm not saying if you got a good kid, do good. But I'm saying, like, if you know that you giving them money is just propping them up, is just allowing them to just keep not doing anything, instead of feeling like giving your money is turning into some sort of long-term investment for your child, then you kind of know what it is, right?
To be honest, sometimes when you give your kid money, it's like a reward. Like, I'm rewarding you for your behavior and activity, and you're reinforcing bad behavior.
Word, right. And then the other question that you really need to ask yourself, again, before you even get in this boat, what are you trying to teach your kid by giving them money, right? Like, are you just teaching them that, like, you're always going to give them money? Are you actually talking to them about the money that you're giving them and what the expectation is, where it came from, what you expect to happen with it, if you want it back, where it could be going, how you want them to manage it? I do feel like parents, if you are giving your kids money, like a certain dollar amount, you should be talking to them about how you expect them to manage it. You should be giving them tools at the same time, because you want to be teaching them about the money that you are giving them. But you're always teaching them something. So what are you teaching them by giving them money all the time?
Yeah.
So you've asked yourself these questions before, or maybe a lot of us haven't, right? A lot of y'all, it's not us. A lot of y'all, you're like, listen, Tiffany, it's too late. All right, Tiffany, it's too late. I'm here now. I asked them questions before. If I have another kid, I'm gonna ask them questions, but we here now. Here are signs that it's time to stop giving these grown-ass kids money. If it puts your financial stability at risk, you got to start cutting these kids off.
Yeah.
Right. So if paying your kids' bills means you're having a little bit of trouble on your own, right, you got to stop. If you are financing your own bills by putting them on credit cards while you're giving your kids the actual money that you're making,
Lord,
you got to go. You got to go.
If you're constantly bailing your kids out of avoidable situations.
So if your kid can't pay their car note, but they were definitely just at the Drake concert. Right. That's the issue, right? Like if they can't pay, if their cell phone is always getting cut off, but they always got the new PlayStation games.
Yeah, it's a matter of priorities. Like people will use their money for the things they want and then come to you for the things that they need.
Because
it's way easier to come to your parent like, hey, I need you to help me pay for the rent, you know, or diapers for my kid or whatever it is.
Not diapers for my kid.
Versus like, it's just harder to come and say, hey, I really need to go to this Drake concert. Mom, can you help me out?
Word, right?
And way less compelling.
These kids know you love them, right? So they're gonna bring the priorities. They're gonna bring the important bills. Because if you don't pay my cell phone, how you gonna get in touch with me? How you gonna know if I'm safe?
Oh no.
Right? I can't call you. You can't call me. Ma, I don't wanna be out here like that. You know I'm up. I just applied for a job. How am I gonna get a call back?
This is rolling off the tongue for you. I feel like you've got firsthand experience with some of these.
I wanted to do this. Here's the other thing, and here's a very real part of this conversation that we really can't delve into, but so much. I'm a girl. It's different for girls than it is for boys. This was not an issue. I would never, like, my father paid my car note because he couldn't even imagine me stuck on the side of a road. And that I never even had to throw that at him.
Yeah. And you probably had all new cars too.
All new cars.
I don't think you ever had a used car in your life.
That's not true. My first car was used, but after that first year.
How long did that last?
I had it for a year.
1 year.
1 year. One year.
So you've been an adult easily 20 years. So one out of 20, you had a used car.
Never again.
Yeah. And let me just say the flip side, I literally have never had a new car. Not even once. I bought my wife a new car once and I have never had a new car.
I wouldn't even know where to find the used cars, Alan. I'm not even going to hold you. I'm not even going to hold you, but I'm a girl. It's different. These rules are different when it comes to a girl.
Another stat I'm proud of, this is my personal stat, and I feel like it's like a challenge at this point. I've never owned a pair of Jordans. My parents would never buy me Jordans when I was a kid, and I really wanted them. And now I'm an adult, and I'm just like, philosophically, I guess I wasn't supposed to have them.
Okay, just so we're clear, and y'all know my age. I don't hide my age. I just turned 41. I got a new pair of Jordans upstairs right now. I don't even wear sneakers.
That you paid for.
I don't even wear sneakers. Okay. Yeah. So it's different. But other signs that it's time for you to cut these grown ass kids off. If you're putting off your goals to help them achieve theirs. And when we talk about goals, we're talking about travel, paying off your house, saving for retirement, buying a new house. Like, I know it feels like, well, I got to sacrifice so my kids are okay. A lot of these things are not sacrificed. Like, your kids are not struggling, right? Like, you're not saving them from poverty. You're just making sure they have a wonderful, comfortable life while impacting what your future looks like. It's always very important for us, you know, as in our role as advisors, it's always very important for us to encourage wealth building. I feel like you listen to this podcast to build wealth,
yeah. Right?
And that wealth
to
ultimately
hear good-ass jokes from town to town.
You know, Alan, you are on the podcast, but it's not only to build wealth for yourself, but it is to build wealth and a legacy for your family. You are not doing that by shelling out the money now and, you know, putting off your own financial goals. And I'm not saying there's a way you can't do both, but a lot of y'all aren't navigating that well. So if you're in that boat, if you are paying for tuition because you don't want your child to take out student loans, but you can't afford to max out on your own retirement, it's a problem. And I get it. You're like, listen, it's only 4 years. It's okay. Y'all know how expensive college is? Go ahead, Alan, tell them.
I got to come up with $45,000 by October.
And that's just for one semester. He ain't got a book, okay? They don't give him no free T-shirt.
Yeah.
None of that. Does that at least
include
food?
They do have a payment plan. They at least have a payment plan. Here's the payment plan. I got to pay $25,000 by August 6th. Then I got to pay $12,000 in October and then $12,000 in November. How is that a payment plan?
Listen, for y'all who follow us on social media, send Alan a prayer on August 6th. On August 6th, just reach your hands out and let's touch and agree for Alan's emergency fund and all the things. Here's another sign that you need to stop paying for these grown-ass kids. If they have a job and acts like a real job and they could be paying their bills, they just don't know how to budget. Like, they just get a check and spend it.
Yeah.
Like, that's not an issue. The issue was education at that point.
Yeah, and you might need to get involved with them. Like, my dad is really good for taking people's accounts over. Like, he took my little brother's account over and other nephews and cousins. Like, he's been able to step in and work with them on how to budget and how to make sure that they have enough money for the things they need.
That's why we love Bishop Boomer. And that's something that you really should be doing. We talked earlier about, like, what are you teaching your kids by giving them money? The reason why that's the question is because when they are getting their own money, you want them to have learned something. So if that's the case, right, for a lot of us, we are the first generation that really started making money, but we didn't know what to do with it. You don't want to pass that along to your children. So first things first, you need to tell them, hey, the money that you make is for your bills. The money that you make is not for you. Like, oh, you finally made it now. Let me ball out. Balling out looks like food, utilities, a bed, right? So that is what income is for. Income for you at your age is for you to start supporting yourself. Yeah. Also, start to give them some tools. If you use a budgeting tool, download an app like Mint. It's a variety of banking apps that just help you budget, help you understand where your money's going. But be a part of that process. Be a part of that transition for them so that your support doesn't look like giving them more money on top of the money that they're making, but instead your support looks like teaching them how to manage the money that they have.
Facts.
And then the last sign around if it's time for you to stop supporting these grown ass kids is if your kids' money management skills just keep getting worse and worse.
Instead of better. Instead it should be getting better over time.
Right. Because they're making money at some point. They've graduated from college. They're making a little bit of money. And if what they're doing with money, their money management just keeps getting worse and worse. So at first, they just need help with the cell phone bill. Now it's the cell phone bill and the car note. Then it's the cell phone bill and the car note and the rent. Matter of fact, I got to move back home. Like,
now you need to see if your kid is on drugs.
I mean, no, you don't need to see if they're getting on drugs, but like the issue is that they're not gaining the education that they need or the motivation or requirement to take care of themselves. And honestly, if that's what's happening, if their money management skills are getting worse and worse, you got to stop supporting them. You got to essentially, like, I don't want to say kick them out of the nest, but you have to do something. You have to trigger their own self-sustaining capabilities to kick in.
Yeah.
All right. So this has happened, right? Like, I got these kids. We're here now. I hear you. I'm all the signs. They trifling. These are all the signs. They all apply to me. How do I get control? How do I get back on track? We got you. First thing you have to do, you have to start. And this is kind of like with everything that we ever talk about. You have to know what you're paying for. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we say when you're getting yourself on track financially, you got to start looking at your bank statements. Right. You got to know what's happening here. You have to know what you're paying for. A lot of the expenses for your children are baked in. Again, they're on your family cell phone plan. It's a family car insurance plan.
Lord,
they're still on your health insurance. Mm-hmm. So like you don't think about it. You're like, well, I only help them pay the rent. That's not true. Like you're paying for a variety of different things. So know all the things that you're paying for on top of tuition, on top of everything. And I get it. I'm not a parent, but if I had to pay what Alan's about to pay for this tuition, I wouldn't want to know. I wouldn't want to know. I would just want to forget. Don't ask. But you need to start by knowing what you're paying for and totaling it up. Total it up and then figure out how much you pay per month. And if you can, figure out how much you pay annually to support this grown ass child. That alone should shock you into shutting it down. But that's where you start. After that, we have a ton more things you have to do, but we've got to talk about it when we get back from break. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we are back.
Yes.
And we are still talking about how to stop paying for these grown ass kids. So we started to talk about how you can gain control. First things first, you have to know what you're paying for. You really need to itemize it. You got to sit down, you and your spouse or you and yourself, and literally break out how much you are paying for these kids, whether it's built into other bills or not. To Alan's point, and if they're living at home, what's their portion of the rent? What's their portion of the mortgage, right? So, like, how much space are they taking up? How much of your food are they eating? Do you have an Uber Eats account? Do you have an Instacart account that you just let your child run up on their own? Like, how much is all of that total? Next, you have to categorize your payments. Are they one-time payments or are they ongoing payments?
Yeah, it's a lot of ongoing.
Facts. So is it just, you know, every couple of months you hear you come asking for money, right? That's a one-time thing. But is it just ongoing? I'm just supporting you and paying your bills. I'm not even thinking about it.
Indefinitely.
Or in perpetuity, right?
Word.
Then you need to ask yourself these questions. This is how you gain control. Again, what am I paying for? How much does it all cost? Is it a one-time unique circumstance or am I making regular payments? Are contributions helping or hindering this child in the long run? Can I even afford this shit?
Like, nope.
No, a lot of times you can't. Earmuffs. We've been talking about grown-ass kids the entire time.
Ass is in the Bible. Not the S word.
Not the S. Now it's the S word, right?
Yeah.
But can you even afford this? Seriously.
No.
And when you first started doing it, you probably could afford it. But your expenses have grown. You bought a bigger house. You got into foreign, right? And so now,
you see what I'm saying? We hope. By now.
Right. Okay. The prices to get your nails and hair done has gone up. So now you can't actually even afford it. Would you redirect those payments to some of your other financial goals if you could? Is this just like extra money that you have? Like, listen, I maxed out. I got no debt on my credit cards. My emergency savings is popping. And so this is money left over, or have all those things been neglected, but your kid is sitting pretty. And then why are you making these payments? And that's a real question. And I think only you guys as parents can answer this. Like, are you making these payments because you just really feel like they need it? Do you feel like, you know, it's your job as a parent? I don't want to see them fail. You do need to understand the intention as to why you're doing this so you can figure out how to stop.
Yeah. Because the goal is that they take over this stuff at some point.
Not the goal. Like, that's it. It's no stuff if they don't pay for it. Like, they need to learn that things cost money and it costs their money. The next thing you have to do, you have to assess where your kids are in life, for real. Right? Like, you need to evaluate what stage of life your child is in currently. Do they have a stable job? Are they even looking for a job? Right? If you're one of these Gen Zers who, like, just believe in the earth will provide, then let the earth provide for them. Right? It's a lot of kids nowadays that just don't take work seriously. And if that's the case, that's on them. And they have to feel what that looks like, how that shows up in the world. I know it's not easy, but like, if you aren't faced with your consequences, you're going to keep doing exactly what you're doing. And honestly, it's going to fall back on you.
Yeah.
If your kids don't have a job, again, are they looking for a job? They've been on interviews. Do they have a resume? Like, you don't want to be out here supporting complacency. So again, if it's like, you know, well, I just graduated. Don't I deserve a break? First of all, college was the fun part.
A break.
That was the fun part. Now it's time for you to hit these streets. Like, now it's time for you to get a job. Another question that you ask yourself about your child is, can they afford their current lifestyle? So again, if they go on to Drake concerts, they got all the new video games, Jordans and all of that. I'm sure they can't afford that on their own. That is happening with the support of you. Do they live in a really nice apartment? Do they have they don't even have a roommate. They got their own crib. Who's picking up the tab on their lifestyle? And if it's you, it's time to stop. Your children have to understand that a particular lifestyle costs a particular amount. And it is.
Now, one thing I'll say on that, Tiffany, is like, for some people, they've given themselves a certain lifestyle.
As you should.
Which then extends to the kid. The kid has a certain expectation of what their lifestyle is going to be, but they can't really afford it.
But is that fair? Like, I think you have a right. Do your kids get to have an expectation of their lifestyle?
Well, what I'm saying is, like, I think at some point we've got to be mindful as parents of what expectations we're setting up for our kid. I'll give you an example, right? So, like, I see a lot of people buying their kids Mercedes-Benz and BMWs as the kid's first car. Like, you're now setting your kid up to expect this high-end lifestyle that it's going to make it even harder for them to transition.
Like, I don't think we can say if you're wild or not for doing that. I do think what we can say is, if I've done this for you, and if you like this, you will then have to figure out, or we will have to teach you what it will take for you to keep this up for yourself. It's not my job, because I like nice things and I've been able to provide nice things for you, to say that now I have to provide nice things for you for the rest of your life. If you have adjusted to this lifestyle, to me, that's nothing more than motivation, and you need all the understanding possible to continue this lifestyle for myself. Where do I have to start from to get back to this place?
Or the flip side is the disappointment that comes with realizing that I went to college and I can't afford the things that my parents used to give me. Like, that's a disappointment.
Disappointment is the greatest character builder. Like, there's nothing wrong with disappointment. I think that's the issue. Like, you don't want your children to be disappointed. God forbid. All the disappointments that we have as adults and taking care of them and knowing that it doesn't work out all the time and we're doing all that we can, God forbid your child is faced with a little bit of disappointment.
But what I'm saying is, you're setting them up for disappointment if you do too much for them too early.
They'll be
fine.
That's
all.
They'll survive. They'll learn how to deal with disappointment. And so when they get that first job that they hate, they'll be able to navigate it because they've learned how to deal with disappointment. Right. But you do have to assess where your children are at in their life so that you can make better decisions, healthy money decisions for yourself, and kind of try to put them in the best place possible.
I do believe there's other ways to support your kid besides just giving them money. I know we've focused so much on money, and I think that's like the easy way to support your kid, but there's other support that's valuable too. And 100%. Let's focus on that some.
100%. And I do, to Alan's point, I think these other ways are probably more meaningful, right? So if you could pivot off of just writing these checks or paying all these bills, focus on supporting them in these ways. Let them know, like, listen, I'm not about to be giving you all this money, but I got your back. And so I'm going to reach out to you regularly. I'm keeping regular contact with your kids as they get older, as they go to college, as they graduate college, as they, you know, have kids or do whatever. It's very easy to like not talk to them as much, to let the communication slip. I guarantee you, hearing from you, hearing your advice, hearing your encouragement will mean a lot to your child instead of just giving them money. So find other ways to support them, first starting by keeping in regular contact. Keep a pulse on your child and just let them hear your voice regularly.
Spend some time with them. I don't care. Take them on a vacation every now and then. Take them out to dinner. Like, this quality time is a chance for you to bond with them, to share some financial knowledge as well.
Right. It'll also give you the opportunity to really understand what your child's going through, learn them, because kids lie over the phone, especially in college. But if you pull up to the school, or if you visit them regularly and y'all go out to eat, or you just go to kick it, you could really look at your kid and be like, all right, you ain't doing well, or you doing too much. You know what I mean? Or whatever the case is. So spend time with your child. Guarantee. I know in the beginning when they're like 17 or 18, I'm like, mom, I'm busy. I got stuff to do. One, prioritize it. But as they get older, and I am saying this as an older person, the time that you spend with your kids will mean so much more. Also, support them emotionally. Like, support them emotionally, motivate them, encourage them, especially as they start to take on new responsibilities and endeavors, like a new job, right? Or paying these bills. Don't just hope they're paying the bills. Like, be supportive. Talk to them about how you pay your cell phone bill. Like, hey, you know, if you check in, what's the last time you checked in with your cell phone provider? We should call them. Let's call them and see if there's a less expensive plan. I know I do that every 2 years with my own cell phone. Let's call them and see if there's a less expensive plan, or is there a way to cut the number down? You know, what's your utility bills like? What's your light bill like? Oh, it's high. You know, they got these light bulbs. Let's switch out some of the light bulbs and that'll bring the bill down a little bit. Or, you know, don't leave your charger plugged in so much. I know these are incremental things. It's really not about the money that's being saved. It's about the teaching them and supporting them through these new responsibilities. Don't just throw their asses to the wolves. I do agree. Like, while we do want them to pay their bills, if you haven't talked to them about paying their bills and you're not like helping them through it through talking or supporting them, that could be even more scary. It might not even be about the number. It might just be about like, what am I doing? Other supports you can give your kids is advice, guidance. If you have a financial advisor, if you required hiring somebody for you to get your expenses and wealth building and financial strategy underway, there's a really great chance that your child's going to need that also. So maybe you do set up a meeting with your advisor and your child, right? Have them talk with somebody about it. Give any advice. If you've read books, if you listen to podcasts, if there's something that you do to help you stay on financial track, give that same advice and guidance to your child. Again, they're not going to love it. They really wish you would just cut the check. But big picture, we don't really care about like the immediate gratification. We're trying to have big picture. We're trying to have big grown people who could pay their big grown bills and, you know, create wealth for themselves. And so these are the things that are also super, super, super supportive. And then another really great piece of advice, if your children are of the age where they have kids, maybe you offer to babysit, help out around
sometimes,
the house.
From time to time.
Listen, we know you love them grandkids.
Don't raise the kids for them. Just, you know.
You know, but you can help out.
Once a month for
that's
a weekend.
A financial relief. If they have babysitters, if they've got, you know, out-of-home cares, a variety of different things, like you offering a babysitter help out around the house a little bit, especially if they married.
Every now and
then. Don't be all up in their business, right? Don't be showing up unannounced all up in their married business. But you can help out in other ways that don't look like money, but might save them some money. Ultimately, though, what you want to do is you want to build a meaningful relationship with your child that is not rooted in toxic money giving. There are so many other factors to having a meaningful relationship with your child that shouldn't have anything to do with money. And honestly, one side should start to phase out the other as they get older.
Facts.
Now, we've talked through a variety of things. Why these kids need money? What questions you should have been asking early on? How do you know it's time to stop giving money and how to gain control? But there's some other alternatives, all right? And we need to talk about it really quickly. So first of all, we cannot state this enough. Your kids can get student loans. You can't get a retirement loan. When you have to retire or ready to retire, when the job isn't there no more or you can't work it anymore, you can't take out a loan. Which is why you have to contribute to your own retirement. You have to contribute to your own well-being and savings because you are increasingly getting older. You will be old before they will be. But 70% of parents believe that their children will financially support them through retirement. And that's the lie y'all tell yourselves. And that's how you end up down bad. Because
you're setting up a generation after generation problem. Your kids got to support you. Now their retirement's jacked up. Now their kids got to support them. Like, when does this train end?
Yes, you're creating a generational debt plan. And so you are not building wealth by not putting up the money to take care of yourself. But instead, to Alan's point, you are creating a generational debt plan where no one person will be able to build wealth because they are responsible for somebody else. And this is, again, this is because once your children became grown, you sacrificed your wealth building to help them either live a lifestyle or be comfortable or not be disappointed or whatever the case is. So you got to be mindful. Listen, no matter how much your kids love you, that doesn't mean that they can even take care of you. Not if they want to. They will have the resources to take care of you. So you got to take care of yourself. As they say, you got to put the oxygen mask on yourself first. And then lastly, y'all really don't have to do anything that we said, like, right? Like, you don't have to stop giving your kids money. Every family really is different, right? It could be a cultural thing. It could be that you just got it. I got plenty of money, so I don't have a problem giving it away. Here's the thing. We worry about the type of adults that you are grooming and putting out in this world, right? So even if you choose to continue to give your kids money, there are more effective ways to do it, right? So maybe you just pay for very specific things. Like, hey, every year I want us to go on a family vacation. I'll pay for everything. Or, you know, maybe, listen, I'm down to pay for your graduate degree. That should really set you up and catapult you in a way.
Wait a minute.
Listen, right? That's a major expense and that should catapult you in a way. Yikes. A one-time thing, but it should catapult you in
no
a way.
Me gusta.
For your child to be very much set up later in life by not having any student loan debt, right? But having an advanced degree. Maybe you're offering to put a chunk down on the purchase of a home.
Okay.
We're just saying, like, just don't just be constantly tricking off and writing countless checks, because you do want to create a person, a human being in your responsibility to this child. You do want to create a human being that not only is self-sustaining, but you want them to build wealth for themselves also. I think that's what feels like successful parenthood. You know, when we're thinking about money, it's making sure you have a well-balanced adult that can contribute to themselves and society in a beneficial way. And so it's not just to make sure they don't die. Mm-hmm. It is to, you know, create a human being that you'd be proud of. So even if you decide, like, listen, I have the money to give. I want to continue to support my child. Maybe it should look differently. Maybe it shouldn't look like paying all their bills. or keeping them in your house. It could look like a variety of other things that support them holistically and in a way where you'd be proud.
Love it. Can I give the Andrew Jackson Boomer Jr. School of Child Rearing?
Put that man's whole government out here. Put that man's whole government out here.
To become a fiscally responsible adult.
Are you fiscally responsible?
Can I tell you about his brand of tough love that
worked
for me? Because one thing I'll say is that it starts when they're younger. Like, if you didn't do a good job of teaching them about money when they were young, it's going to be really hard when they get grown. But here's some of the things that my pop did with me that I thought was really, really effective. Number one, when I turned 16, my parents had a meeting with me and they basically told me, look, we're not paying for anything extra anymore. Like, we cover the food in this house and we cover the mortgage. And that's our full support to you. If you want school clothes, if you want food after school, like, that's on you. So that was like the prompt for me to go get a job. They actually then took me to go get a job at the age of 16. And they started to orient me towards knowing that as an adult, you've got to work if you want to eat. Number two, they started charging me rent at 18. So I graduated high school at 18. And, you know, like I had an internship and I was making, I think, $8 an hour. Not a whole lot of money, but my dad said, you got to pay $500 per month in rent. The rent was so high relative to what I was making, I had to go out and get two jobs. So I worked two jobs literally from 18 up to about 25 years old, most of which was to pay rent to live at home. Like, that rent continued when I came home for my winter break. That rent continued when I came home for the summer from college, but it created this mindset that I needed to pay rent. And I will say that when I got married, my dad gave me all the money back, and it was the most money I ever had at one time. It was like $16,000 that he gave
back to me. I always love that story.
With the rent. Next, my dad, his first car that he bought me cost $400. It was a hoopty. And my dad's mentality was, when you start to be able to afford your own stuff, I want you to be proud of what you're able to buy. I want it to be a step up over what I was able to do for you, as opposed to a step down. Next, when it came down for major moments, like when I graduated college and I needed to get that first big car, my dad gave me the down payment for that. But he did not give me the payment money for the monthly payments, right? So these one-time things, I think, are better than setting yourself up to pay somebody's car note or rent every single month. And then the same thing happened when it was time for me to buy a house. My dad sold me the house that I grew up in at a discount, and that was effectively a down payment on my house. And he helped my little brother and my older brother to buy their first homes as well. So that's the Andrew Boomer School of Parenting.
Well, we love it, okay? And we should hire him at Momentum. But no, there's a lot of things that you guys can do. And I know it feels like a lot. Raising your children is hard within itself. And so you don't want to set them up for failure, but honestly, there's a variety of ways that you can set them up for success. And that is about enriching them as a human being and not just throwing money at them. So hopefully for the person who reached out and asked us to do this show, we hope that this has helped you. We hope this has helped others, and we look forward to being back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture. Luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.